Our scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, and then into chapter 3. I am not going to read all of this. I'm going to just read a portion from chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, but we'll be talking about the whole context here. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And let us hear God's word. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Well, unless you are like Peter Pan, all of us want to grow up. With growth and maturity comes possibility, and adult is able to do and to become things that a young child cannot. Growth in knowledge, in communication skills, physical ability, and character traits like responsibility and endurance enable an adult to accomplish things and to enjoy things, things that a young child can only aspire to. And most of us will admit that there is room within us to grow. None of us has reached the limits of what we can know or what we can do. None of us is always successful or always makes the best choices or always sets the right priorities in our lives. That's why there are so many self-improvement books and videos out there. And there is nothing wrong, by the way, in pursuing personal growth. We all have God-given resources and abilities that we can and should be developing. But as we pursue growth, one area that we should never neglect is growth in holiness, a growth in the development of a godly character. We can be world champions in everything else, but if we are not living as holy people, then it has all been for nothing. Jesus said that even if we gain the whole world, it's all been for nothing if we have lost our souls. Well, when discussing what to include in our vision statement. You know, it's hard to pack a lot into a few short words. But when the elders talked about what we wanted to include in our brief statement, one of the things on the top of the list was the idea of growth. Not growth in numbers, although including people, new people into our community is something that is part of our goal. But the kind of growth that we had in mind here was growth in being more like Jesus. And so our statement, gathering a community to live for Christ, is followed by four short words. The first one is encourage, which we talked about last time. And the second one, which we're going to talk about today, is grow. And one reason why we included this word was because as we are gathering this community to live for Christ, we didn't want to give the impression to other people that we had arrived and that we were only interested in adding people to our church who were already living flawless lives for Jesus. If that were true, then I couldn't be a part of this church. None of us could. You've probably heard the saying, don't bother looking for the perfect church, because if you find it and join it, it won't be perfect anymore. Well, it's true. The people of Jesus Christ are in process. And so the church of Jesus Christ is in process as well. We are growing in godliness. We are growing to become more like Christ in the way that we think, in the way that we speak, and in the way that we act. There used to be big buttons that people would wear that said, please be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. And every one of us could wear that button. And so unfinished people are welcome at Lansdale Presbyterian. And we wanted to communicate that. But at the same time, we also wanted to communicate that we have a commitment to growth, that living for Christ would never become something that we would be complacent about or something that we would neglect to pursue or to promote. We must never become content with our unfinished condition. And so in our vision summary, we say this. We say, admitting that we have not yet become all that a community of God's people should be, we commit ourselves to the process of growing to become more like Christ, increasingly reflecting His wisdom, His goodness, and His love. Now, the passage before us from Paul's letter to the Colossians is a call to grow in godliness. It actually starts in chapter 2 and continues into chapter 4. Chapter 2, verse 6, Paul encourages the Colossians to walk in Jesus Christ. In other words, to live a life that is consistent with the profession of faith in Christ, to walk the talk. But there are all kinds of clues in these verses that also show us that Paul understands this present walk in Jesus to be progressive, something that we do not attain all at once, but rather something that individually and corporately we are growing into. And so in chapter 2, verse 19, which we did not read, Paul describes the church as being like a body that grows with a growth that is from God. And in chapter 3, verse 10, Paul speaks about being renewed in knowledge after the image of our Creator. This is the language of ongoing process that suggests that we are on the road, but we haven't arrived yet. Now today we want to look at this life that's growing in Christ-likeness. We're going to look at three things. First, the goal of this growing life. Second, the effort of this life. And then finally, the help for this growing life. First, the goal of a growing life for Christ. The goal of this life is what Paul refers to in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, as the things that are above. Now, to some extent, he says these things are hidden at the moment, and so they remain a future goal. There are some aspects of what we will become that are still hidden with Christ. And it's only when Christ appears in glory that we too shall appear with him in the fullness of our own glory. That's what Paul says in verse 4. He's speaking here about the day when Jesus will return and the dead will be raised to life, when sin and death are no more, and when all that is at this present time partial will be made complete. But even though things at the moment are incomplete, there is still growth toward that goal. Growth that can and should be taking place right now. We can't have everything yet, but we can have some of it. And so Paul calls us to seek and to set our minds on these things, on the things above where Christ is, who has been raised from the dead. In other words, Paul expects us right now to be pursuing the kind of lives that people would live who have been raised from the dead and who are with Christ in the very presence of God. Well, what specifically does that look like? In verses 5 through 7, Paul gives us a list of things that do not belong to this life. Okay, it's basically a short list of things forbidden by the Ten Commandments. Sexual immorality, that's the seventh commandment. Coveting, that's the tenth commandment. Anger and malice, that's the sixth commandment. Slander and lying, that's the ninth commandment. These are the kinds of things we are to put off, Paul says. And then in verses 12 through 17, he lists the things that do belong to this life into which we are growing. And the things he lists here are things like compassionate hearts, and kindness, humility, meekness, patience with one another, forgiveness, love, peace. Verse 16 says it is to be a life that is centered on the word of Christ. Verse 17 sums this life up as a life that is lived in the name of the Lord. Whatever we do should be done as though we're doing it as representatives of Jesus. If he's good with it, it stays. If he's not, it goes. So that's the goal. That's where we're headed. Now, I don't know about you, but to me that sounds pretty good. Sounds like a good goal. It's where I want my life to be. I want my life to reflect the character of God, to reflect his purity and his truthfulness and his compassion and his forgiveness and his love. I want that. I want that for myself. I want it for our church community. But just wanting something doesn't make it happen. Here we come to the second point. The effort of a growing life. It also takes work. It takes effort. This is the hard part. Everyone wants to grow, but nobody wants to go through the process of growth. No one wants the growth pains. When I was in school, the sport of lacrosse was big on Long Island, where I grew up. I was in the sixth grade. And this particular year, the sixth grade meant in the new junior high building. And that year, a former lacrosse star from our district who had gone on to play for Annapolis came back to show a recruiting film for the Naval Academy. Well, I didn't remember anything about this presentation except the clip about the Annapolis lacrosse team. It was glorious. The film editor had done a great job on this segment. And I knew right then and there that I wanted to go to Annapolis and play lacrosse. I was inspired. So in the spring, I went out for our school team. They let sixth graders do that. Now, you need to know that at the time, I was an overweight, out-of-shape kid, and the closest thing to organized sports that I had ever played was stickball on my street. Well, at the first practice, the coach had us running laps that I thought would never end. And he had us doing all kinds of torturous calisthenics that I thought any reasonable person would avoid at all costs. My body never hurt so much in all of my life, and the next day I could hardly move. Well, after that first practice, it would have been very easy for me to have quit. It was a lot of work. I wasn't very good, and that first year I didn't even get to play in any of the games. But I kept at it, and over those years I got stronger physically, developed skills, and would finally get lots of playing time. Now, I never did go to Annapolis. God had other plans for me. But my point in telling you this is that I quickly learned that to reach my goal would mean that I had some growing to do. I'd have to grow as an athlete, and that growth would take effort and work and even some pain. You don't become a concert pianist just by watching others play. You don't become a star lacrosse player or a football quarterback or a baseball pitcher just by watching recruiting films. And the same is true for the Christian life. If we want to grow in the things that are above, then Paul says we must seek them. If I am seeking hidden treasure, then I'm going to do the things that will lead me to finding it. If I'm seeking the life that is hidden with Christ, then I must do the things that will lead to my living that life. Well, what are some of these things that we must do? What is some of the effort that goes into this? Well, first, I need to acknowledge that I have a need for growth. I need to admit that I'm not there yet. Now, that's hard to do. It means humbling ourselves. It means admitting that I am less than what I should be. When our Wednesday morning men's group was going through its men's fraternity study, we were encouraged to measure and to evaluate ourselves in the light of God's Word about what God's Word says a man of God should be as husbands and as fathers and as sons and as members of a church and as workers in the workplace and in our relationships with God. And that was a very humbling experience because it confronted us, and speaking for myself, it confronted me with the fact that I needed growth. So first, we need to come to that point in our lives where we're admitting this. But second, I need to know what a life lived for Christ looks like. This takes some work. We need something that we can aspire toward. That recruiting film inspired me because it put in my mind a vision of something that I could achieve. We need that vision as God's people. And so Paul says chapter 3, verse 2, set your minds on the things that are above And then he says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We're big here at Lansdale Presbyterian Church on the word of God. We preach it. We teach it. We study it. We talk about it. And we do these things, I hope, because we are looking for inspiration and vision for godliness. Because we are seeking the things that are above. And because we want to grow in these things, become these things. We're going to talk more about this next week when we talk about equipping. But if we are to grow in living godly lives, then we need to keep the vision before us that the word of Christ gives to us. Well, third, to seek the things that are above, we need to do them. Just do it, was Nike's slogan. And this is what Paul is talking about when he talks about putting off the old and putting on the new. We may not be very successful for the first time around. First time a child picks up a violin, it's not going to sound the same as it will when she picks it up for the 1,000th time or the 10,000th time. A fruit tree takes years before it begins to bear a large crop of fruit. Godliness does not come all at once, but for it to come, we must engage in it. We have to just do it. We must constantly be working to put off the old and put on the new. And as we do that, we're going to see growth take place in our lives. Well, finally, we want to look at the help that is there for growing such a life. Simply put, we just can't attain to the things that are above without Jesus Christ. The possibility for growth only comes from Jesus. Without the help of Christ, all of our efforts to achieve godliness are going to fail. We simply do not have the ability to do this on our own. We were dead in our trespasses, Paul says in chapter 2, verse 13. The church grows, Paul says in chapter 2, verse 19, with the growth that is from God. It's from God. And it was precisely to make it possible to grow in godliness that Jesus came. Without him, it's impossible. But with him, all things are possible. This growth from God comes through Jesus Christ. And in this passage, Paul says that Jesus does two things so that we are able to grow. One is that he dies, and the other is that he is raised from the dead. Jesus dies to pay the penalty for our sins so that we can be forgiven our debt, be reconciled to God. Paul talks about this in chapter 2, verse 13. It's as though when Jesus died for those whom he died, they died with him. But then he also rises from the dead so that those whom he reconciles to God may share in his life. Now, Paul doesn't mention the Holy Spirit here in these verses, but it's clear from his other letters that when he speaks about our being raised with Christ, what he's talking about is our having the Holy Spirit within us now, who breathes into us new life and who gives us the ability to grow in this new life that will culminate in a full and complete transformation on the day of resurrection when Jesus returns. So without Jesus, without his death, without his resurrection, there is no hope of growth, no hope of experiencing this life now, and no hope of attaining the resurrection from the dead that is still hidden with Christ. You see, it's all connected. It's all one life. And so to grow in godliness, to grow in our experience of this new life, we must go to Jesus. We have to admit that we failed to live the kind of life that God made us to live, lives that puts God first, and lives that put others before ourselves. And then we need to ask God to forgive us. Forgive us, and to enable us by His Spirit to live for Him. And if we do this, Jesus will forgive our sins. That's a promise, very clear promise in the Scriptures. He will forgive us, make us right with God, and He will begin His renewing work within us so that we can grow up and do and enjoy all that God has for those who have fully matured into the image and the stature of His Son. So let's be people who are on this road of growth into the fullness of Christ. Let's be a community that is truly growing. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we thank You that You have given us this hope in Christ, that all is not lost, that all is not left up to ourselves, that Jesus has come, and because of that, there is hope of life both now and in eternity. And so, Lord, we do ask for Your Spirit to be at work within us, transforming us, molding us into the image of Your Son. Lord, give us the courage to press on, to do those things that are for us to be doing, to pursue this life of holiness, this life of godliness, to seek lives that bring You glory and honor the one who has come to save us. So, Lord, encourage us today, strengthen us to these ends, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.